Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Breton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, sliding in, as per usual. Cousin Shane, everybody's favorite cousin. How's it going, brother?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, you know, another NFL draft come and gone. And wouldn't you know it, Shane, for about the 50th year in a row, SEC dominates.
You mean the Sanders draft? That's what it felt like, you know?
Oh, man, if I never hear that name again, I'll be happy. You know what?
I just thought it was funny that somebody made mention that says the only way that they can get everybody to watch the NFL draft. And I was like, you know what? They may have something there, because this coverage was from day one to day three. It was all, I mean, the fighting, the bickering, everything online. Oh, it's been, at the end of the day, though, like you said, the SEC, I mean, forget whatever else storylines you saw. The SEC broke a record and put the most people in the NFL, and that's what we're going to continue to do. So we may not have had the accolades of a national title, but proof's in the pudding. You keep doing that, then the titles will start heading our way again.
Right. This ain't a one or two program conference like some others. No. You know what? It's we go 15. I'm not throwing Mississippi State's the only team that didn't have a draft pick, so I'm not including them today. Hopefully they'll get there next year. But you're dead on, Shane. I don't know if you saw it, but I did a little emergency after the first round. I think you had been in bed for about 3 hours by that point in time, but someone had asked me, what do I predict would be the number of players selected in the draft from the SEC when it's all said and done? Mm-hmm. And I said like mid-60s. I thought that would be a good number.
Yeah.
Way off, Shane. Way off. 79.
Damn.
The previous record was 65. So, I mean, beat it by 14. Shout out Texas and Oklahoma coming into the conference, helping the SEC shatter records. You know what?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely helps having those boys. You know what I'm saying? I saw a picture. Actually, I think you've got it here on the thumbnail, and there was a lot of orange, and I'm used to seeing it as Tennessee, but, man, there was a lot of Texas, a lot of Oklahoma, just like you said, every time you looked up, there was another SEC player getting selected.
Yeah. Cousin Shin, I hope I'm saying that right. Glad to see Cousin Shane was able to post bail from his Cracker Barrel arrest yet. Did you get arrested at Cracker Barrel, Shane?
Not yet. They ain't caught me yet. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like I'm not being banned. And you know what's really hard, Mike, is not going to a restaurant, because that's like my go-to. You know me, Mike. I'm a creature of habit. I like the same thing the same time. And honestly, everybody's ever asked me, you know, where you want to go eat? They know the answer. And we've been kind of mixing it up here lately, but that's just going to make it that much more special when I make it back to Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, you said you're a creature of habit. I'm sitting here debating. I mean, it's every night, 7 o'clock. Is Shane going to be here? Is he not? You know, you're not a creature of habit of what time the show starts. But yeah. I guess in a sense you are, because you're always coming in last minute.
That's right. 7:01. I'm here. I know exactly. Well, what was happening was I kept jumping on there and I kept seeing the show for yesterday. And I was like, man, does he not send me the right link? And I've been sitting here for the last 10 minutes, you know what I'm saying? Just waiting for some action. But then I got on the YouTube and I saw the upcoming. So I kind of put two and two together. So, but then you said, hey, we're live. And I was like, oh shit, I got to get off YouTube and get back over here.
Hey, Cousin Eric, oh my God, look at his thumbnail, Shane. He said, if Cousin Shane ever needs a body double, hit me up. You guys could be brothers there.
That's a good-looking fella, man.
shout-out Cousin S. Chin. Shrin, I don't know how to say that. He just became a member, Shane.
Welcome
to the family. Oh, wait, I screwed it up already, Shane. Let me see if I have it here. I think I definitely, nope. I haven't. We have a sound effect for that. I just haven't uploaded it. So
yeah, I think you're overthinking. I think it is Shin. I think that's
Shin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't say we were the smartest SEC show. You know what?
You keep trying to work that H in there.
Well, hey, let's break this down real quick, Shane. Team by team, though.
Yeah.
Because I want to shout out all these programs that are putting guys in the NFL year after year after year. And it was the dog, Shane, no surprise. 13 players drafted. And this doesn't even count the undrafted. We're going to get to some undrafted guys. But Georgia led the way in the SEC, led the way in the country, I believe, with 13 selections in the NFL draft. Texas, right on their heels, Shane. This is why Texas is dominating this conference. They're taking over the world. 12 selections.
Yeah.
Right there on the heels. And then... So let's go team by team here, because this is what Georgia does every year.
Yeah.
Sending all these guys to the draft. But I don't know, Shane, now they're hitting the portal a little bit. They got questions. I was going to ask you about my power rankings, but I was going to hold that to the end. But the fact that we got Georgia at 13, we got Texas at 12, mm-hmm. and maybe I'm crazy. I think everybody listening to this knows I'm not like the biggest Texas homer, but I feel like Texas is a program on the rise. I feel like Georgia is a program slightly in decline. You know, I mean, they just won SEC. They just made the college football playoff. But what the standard, Shane, for Georgia has changed now. They won two national championships. Probably should have been three in a row, but they fell short. And you tell me, buddy. I mean, last year, I think... Now, this may not be fair, but if Georgia last year played either one of the Georgias that won the national championship,
yeah,
I think they would have got their ass kicked. I mean, am I talking out of my ass here?
No, I mean, it's the whole decline thing, you know. I feel like, and I know you said it was minimal, but still they put a lot of guys in the league. And I question, it's not the talent. Maybe it's the coaching. Maybe it was the schedule.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sankey. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it was, for you to run a perfect run in the college football, it's almost like it's got to be perfect. Even Ohio State, the team that we deemed as a powerhouse, you know, early in the year faltered. And so I feel like, you know, saying Georgia's on the decline, I'm not ready to do that. But I do feel like there's an opportunity you may get past as far as, I don't know, man. It's more about coaching for me. I love Kirby Smart. Maybe I just don't necessarily love what's around him completely. I haven't fell in love with that aspect yet.
Right, right. I'm talking a slight decline, but maybe a better way to say it, Shane, is as we go into 2025.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm on an island here, but Georgia, I don't think, is the pick by everyone to win the conference. When I think the last couple of years,
yeah,
I'd say 85-90% of people that aren't homers would say, yeah, Georgia's probably going to win it. You know, like this year, it's a little bit more of a mix, but it's a little bit more Texas. I'd say there's going to be some Alabama. I think you may have said, I don't think you've made an official prediction or anything, but some people are saying LSU. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's almost like those teams are on equal footing. Am I right or wrong?
I get what you're saying, and it's the old Nick Saban approach, you know. When you had Nick Saban and Alabama just always on top, they're always the pick, and then it seems like when the reins got handed over, Georgia just took it. Kirby took it, hook, line, sinker. That was the new team. But it felt like they squandered a few opportunities, you know, a few playoff opportunities. They didn't get in, what was it, year before last. We felt like they should have. You know, this is a football team that kind of got embarrassed, did get embarrassed, say what you want, got embarrassed by Notre Dame, the whole quarterback situation. So, again, I think it's small moments that led to big, you know, kind of overreactions, if you will, right now. And I've not made the prediction, but I'm going to have Georgia hovering at that one spot, maybe even have that one spot. So, to still say a team's in decline, but most likely I'm going to have them winning the SEC championship. That's just kind of where they're at. I have to see one more decline year, if you will, where I'm like, you know what? Maybe this isn't so special down here in Athens.
Right. And I don't want to turn this into just nothing but the Georgia, but one more thing. Let's say we knew without a doubt that Gunnar Stockton was like a top three, maybe even a top two quarterback in the SEC. Mm-hmm. I think we'd be sitting here saying, oh yeah, Georgia's probably going to win the national championship. Like it's almost like it hinges on, we just don't know how good he is yet. Yeah. Is that fair?
Oh, let me turn it around. Let's say a healthy Beck was coming back. You know what I'm saying? Let's just say he never went to Miami. He stuck around.
Did he break up with a girlfriend?
That's completely off the plate.
We're back, baby.
He said, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. He showed up in an 88 GMC, and he said, let's play some football. You know what I'm saying? At that point, wouldn't you have him hovering at that one spot, probably a national championship contender?
Oh yeah. Well, I think so. Yeah. I think so. You know what else I think, Shane?
What's that?
The legend, Cousin JR, has done it again. The legend, Cousin JR.
Oh, it's on repeat there. Sorry. Shout out, Cousin JR. Shane, he just gifted a membership this time to Midwest Picker. What a name. Midwest, welcome to the family. Courtesy of the legend,
JR.
JR.
Memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
That never gets old, does it?
No, it doesn't. Thank you, JR.
All right. Here's another thing. So, again, recap. Georgia had 13, led the way. Yes. I'm sitting here saying they're in decline. They got a quarter of the roster just got drafted in the NFL. Texas 12. That's all time record for Texas 12 draft picks in a single draft. But how about this, Shane? Ole Miss.
Yeah.
8. They're third, which, I mean, that's outstanding. But again, they're replacing a ton. I don't want to just sit here and repeat myself how much they're replacing. But the fact that they didn't even make the college football playoff and they had 8 NFL draft picks, third most in the entire SEC, is it a missed opportunity? Is it maybe just Kiffin's just turned this into arguably a top 3 program in the conference, and this is what we're going to be getting year in and year out?
Mike, it just depends if you're an Ole Miss fan or not. If you're Ole Miss, this is the new standard. If you're not, you missed an opportunity. I feel like it is a coin toss. There's going to be a lot of people judging Lane Kiffin this season, mainly because of what we thought he had last year. And if there is a step back, we're going to say, man, we squandered an opportunity, like I said. So, but if they succeed and they're again, you know, Lane Kiffin's a 10-win coach and we're flirting with the playoffs, then all of a sudden we're saying, you know what? This is the new norm in Oxford.
Right. Now, here we had 3 programs tied for 7. That's mm-hmm. the next. And good. One of these is not wrong like number. The other. One of these is not like the other, Shane. Alabama, mm-hmm. LSU, and Florida. How about that, Shane? Florida. So, again, we could sit here and say, Billy, you had some. I mean, they had an upswing. I mean, we got to give them credit, right? You know, their team on the rise, they're going to win it all. You had 7 draft picks, brother, and you're getting your ass blown out by Miami and A&M. And, I don't know. Do you take anything away from Alabama, LSU, and Florida having 7? I'm sitting here telling you that, Shane, what immediately pops into your head?
Coaching. You know, I. Because this isn't the first time we've seen a scenario like this where, a bunch of players go to the NFL and we start wondering, did we miss something here? Was this who do we blame for this bad year? And I'm not going to sit here and say Florida was completely, you know, trashed the entire season. We all watched it. We knew what they became at the tail end of the year and probably part of the reason why they were drafted this weekend. So, and you got a banged up quarterback getting drafted. There's a whole bunch of excuses you can make. So again, I feel like it depends on which side of the fence you're on here. I think it's important the fact that Florida is putting players in the NFL because, you know, if you're going to create something down there, which shit, the foundation should be rolling by now. I feel like having guys going to the NFL is going to help you more and more, especially with that portal.
Right. And here's Liquid's got a great question. Doesn't Florida have got a ton of returning talent? Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, they do. Number 3 in the SEC. I need to update this because Nico's gone. I haven't done that yet. But Florida, number 3 in returning offensive production. Florida, number 7 in defensive returning production. So the fact that they had 7 guys drafted, they got all this returning production, you're starting to see, hopefully, why I'm so high on Florida.
Yeah.
Maybe despite the coach, the head coach. But they got a ton of talent. I know they got a damn murderer's row. But I think you could also spin it, Shane, if you're Alabama, if you're LSU. You know, you want to be where Texas is, where Georgia is, and having 12, 13 guys drafted in the NFL.
Yeah.
Because they got talented rosters too. But maybe you spin it and say, well, we may have only had seven, which again, this is fourth most in the conference. But that should tell you that LSU and Alabama got a lot of talent returning as well. And that's why a lot of people think highly of them this year.
No, absolutely. And I'm going to put my Tennessee hat on for a second, Mike, when we're talking, especially I'm going to go back to the Gators. I just feel like this is such a pivotal season, but you're starting to see some, I guess, fruit of your labor, if you will. You know, you're starting to see kids go to the NFL. You're starting to see some wins on the scoreboard, but there's a part of you, if you're a non-Florida homer here, that you're like, man, I hope they have another bad season because I don't think they can afford it. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody wants to keep Florida in this little box because it's a good box, you know, if you don't want them just dominating and winning SEC championships like they used to. So you want to kind of keep them in that box. And you start seeing kids drafted like this, then all of a sudden you're like, man, they're picking up a little momentum. You saw that at the end of the season last year. A non-Florida outlook, you're like, God, we need one more bad year and get Billy out of there. So we need another 3 years of turmoil.
And then how about this, Shane? Next on the list, South Carolina had five guys drafted, and they were all, I believe all of them, in the first four rounds. So we're talking high-end talent, including everybody on their defensive line except for the outstanding freshman, Dylan Stewart. Of course, he's back. But South Carolina, are they in a position, you think, Shane, where, you know, maybe people starting to see this 9-win team last year had a ton of talent, arguably 10-win team if you count the screw job bear at LSU. But again, they had a lot of high-end talent at South Carolina. Can they replace five top draft picks? I mean, this is a huge question mark that I think that just because they got Sellers coming back, just because they're on the upswing.
Yeah.
I think some people are kind of dismissing this a little bit.
Yeah, I think there's a few teams out there that have the ability to, as they say, reload. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it feels like South Carolina's in kind of a replace situation. And I think that's why that 7.5 you're looking at is so volatile. It could go over. It could go under. It's just a lot of question marks, you know, when you surround it by the talent they actually lost to this NFL draft. So, I don't know if South Carolina's there. I think the fans think they're there. I think the coaching staff thinks they're there. And you know, I feed off of them, man. That's that energy, you know what I'm saying? And then we get closer and closer to September, like, damn, maybe we are sleeping on them Gamecocks again. You know what I'm saying?
But if I'm a Gamecock, that's where I want to be. I want to be slept on. You know what? Yeah. It seems like they always perform better when they're a little bit disrespected.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Us against the world mentality, and that's one thing I like. And that's why the fans are so passionate, I feel like. You know, it's like they never get the respect they feel like they deserve, and they're just ready to lash out. And that's what I like about it. It's a lot like Tennessee fans, you know?
Well, speaking of Tennessee, they're next up. They had four guys drafted in the NFL, including a first-rounder, second-rounder, you know, some high-end defensive players, and Samson, of course. So, you know, again, you're not at the upper echelon.
Yeah.
But for these guys saying Heupel can't, like Nico, can't develop talent, I mean, they're getting guys in the league, you know what?
Well, that, I would even kind of reverse that and say, hey, the fact that we went to the playoffs with four guys going to the NFL just shows you what does Tennessee look like when they do get some of that NFL talent, which they've got some on the roster. You know what I'm saying?
That's a hell of a talking point, Shane.
You like that bitch?
Yeah, if they had eight, maybe they would have won it all. You know?
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. If we had a quarterback, you know?
All right, and then next up, Shane, we got three teams tied with three players. Auburn, Texas A&M, and Mizzou had three, including Mizzou had a top 10 pick and an early second rounder. So anything stand out about Auburn, A&M, Missouri, each having three players drafted in the NFL?
Well, good to see Mizzou getting some early picks. You know what I'm saying? Not some of them sixth, seventh rounders that, we've used to been seeing. But this is Drink has been putting kids in the NFL. He's another one that he's got the proofs in the pudding. And when he can look back and show you exactly how many kids he's put in there since he's gotten to Columbia. So I feel like that's just a pipeline to the league. I'm a little discouraged with A&M and Auburn just because, again, these are two teams that historically hover toward the top of recruiting classes. And you always wonder if you're doing that, but you're not putting them in the league, is it a development thing? Of course, obviously, we had a coaching change for both of these schools and stuff, but that's just, I'm just tapping the brakes. I'm not slamming on them here.
Right. But these are two programs, no doubt, Shane, that you're absolutely right. They're always in the top 10, top 15, 15 is even probably too low. Top 12 recruiting, always seemingly. L.A.&M at one point, greatest recruiting class of all time. I realize those are different coaching staff, so a lot of those guys left, but they want to be Georgia. They want to be Alabama. They want to be where Texas is at today. Mm-hmm. So they've got to do a lot better job of developing that talent. And that's probably the biggest challenge for Hugh Freeze and Mike Elko, respectively, at each stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, two. Each of these had two, Shane. Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Kentucky. How about that? Anything stand out about that, including, I couldn't believe it, old Isaac Tesla. Yeah. He went before the hitman, Landon Jackson, only by a couple picks, but that was a stunner to me.
Well, Jackson got banged up, as everybody does, but I thought it was kind of funny. There's two camps throwing out that video, Jackson, you know what I'm saying? The one that he's doing that drill, it seemed like that one came back. And then there's the other one showing what does he look like now? that's two different men. I tell you what, the hitman, I was glad to see him get an opportunity even with that injury. And again, these are teams that I feel like need to do better. And some of it does come down to the portal. I mean, you could argue Arkansas losing some players, but again, you feel like these are developmental schools is kind of what they've been dubbed, whether you like it or not. And I think Kentucky not only took a step back last year, but they were consistently putting guys in and some early rounders. You know what I'm saying? So that's a little disheartening that you only got the one.
I thought Kentucky had four or five defensive players that'd be draft picks. So to only get two, and Deion Walker was a late. I mean, that's kind of discouraging right there. Vanderbilt had the one. It was a seventh rounder. Like I said, Mississippi State didn't have one. Mm-hmm. That just means they're absolutely loaded. Come on, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State. Hey, shout out. Again, I'm butchering this, Shane. I don't know why. Shin here.
Oh, jeez. We're on the same dang name, huh?
Say it for me, Shane. I mean, I can't believe I'm asking you to say it for me here. But he said, I was talking to my little brother, and he thinks Arch Manning will be in the draft next year. I think he'll take 2 years. What do you think, Cousins? We appreciate you, brother. He gave us $5. So what are your thoughts on that, Shane? 2 years of Arch Manning or just one?
So he thinks next year, can you go as a, like, he's a true sophomore, right? Can you go?
No, next year he'll be a true junior.
Is you sure about that? I thought he was a freshman this year, but maybe I'm just losing my mind. You're probably right. I shouldn't be. Brother, I feel like it just depends. It really does. It depends on the success that Texas has. I mean, if we're talking, let's just say, Let's put the Longhorn hat on for a second and things go great. You make it to an SEC championship. You win, you lose, doesn't really matter. And then you go on to the college football playoffs and you win a national championship. Then why come back? I feel like Arch has already got everything he needs. Go on. Make your money while you can, because in this day and age, you got to be careful. You one injury and then all of a sudden you can't make that payday. So I feel like it really just depends on the product Texas puts on the football field this year. If they have the success, Arch is going to be a first rounder. I hate to say it to you.
Probably first overall.
Doesn't matter. I mean, he could sit out. I hope he doesn't. You know what I'm saying? He could sit out and his ass is going to get drafted. You know what I'm saying? He's not that guy. He's focused. He ain't even playing video games these days. You know what I'm saying? He is not going to clowny this thing. I just feel like, though, If he did, you know his ass will be drafted in the first round.
I'm sorry, Shed. I forgot all about that. I can't stand that now. I'm not in the game. Remember, I'm not in the game. Then it was a big, oh, he's in the game. He's in it. Like, oh, get the hell out of here. You know, you ain't done jack shit to be like praised like that. But no, I think, you know, there's two things on Manning's never done, Shane. Mm-hmm. Never. And they've done literally everything else. They've never won a Heisman. And they never won a national championship. So, yeah, I mean, if he does both next year, I think he'll go. Mm-hmm. But word on the street is that he's going to do 2 years. But things change.
Yeah.
You know, if you're guaranteed number one, you win a national championship, you win a Heisman, what the hell is there to come back to? I don't know. And what if, I don't think this is going to happen, but let's say Sarkisian takes an NFL job. Mm-hmm. Is he going to come back for the next coach if he doesn't know who it is? You know what I mean? So there's factors, but short of that, short of winning a Heisman, short of winning a national championship, I think Arch is going to come back as long as Sarkisian stays. I think Arch is going to be there for 2 years as the starting quarterback. I really do.
It may be a package deal. You know what I'm saying? Sark may take the job or whatever NFL team opens up that has a first pick, so he can just bring his Archie boy with him, you know? So.
Yeah. You think they'll do like they did Eli, where he was like, we ain't going to the Chargers, brother.
I don't think that happens, but it. Let's just say hypothetically, and let's just enter a team here. Let's say
Browns.
The Browns, all right? Well, I mean,
he's not going to Cleveland.
They already got their franchise quarterback. But let's just say
Vegas.
Haslam's would be like, absolutely, Sark, you come up here first pick. We're bringing Arch. We're trading Sanders. That's exactly what would happen. You know, Sanders get a shot, get his opportunity. Who knows? He may be a damn baller. You know what I'm saying? With all the shit talk we've done, we'll have to erase. But I just feel like that this may be kind of a package deal. So I don't know. This whole I'm going to do 2 years. Shit, I'd have done 2 years if they had cameras back in the day, Mike. You know what I'm saying?
Any other teams you'd write? I don't think they'll go to the Saints, even though old Archie went there. I think they'd scratch Saints, Jaguars. He ain't going to Carolina. I don't think he'd go to any of those.
I think you got to be picky on NFL. I think Sark can do that. You know what I'm saying? He could pick places that, and I'm not saying some organizations don't take football serious, but there's some it means more. And I think Sark would definitely be able to pick his, you know, spot.
All right. We've got it confirmed, Shane. My name is pronounced just like the front of your lower leg. Chin. No, shin. So
Nailed it.
All right. How about this, Shane? Did you see this? 50 of the first 130 picks were SEC. So 38% of the top 150 picks were SEC. The rest of the power, so Big Ten, ACC, Big 12, they had 66. So the SEC had 50, the rest had 66. Just dominated this damn thing. And then this is another outlier. I just thought this was a fantastic stat, Shane. 24 of the top 50, so damn near 50% of the top 50 picks came from Ohio State, Texas, Michigan, Georgia, Oregon. Those are all the teams you suspect, right?
Yeah.
And South Carolina. So again, this is why I'm a little bit hesitant on South Carolina this year, just because, again, we're throwing South Carolina with Ohio State, Georgia, Texas. I mean, that's a lot of elite talent to replace for the Gamecocks. Now, all those teams, though, Shane, again, I'll go through them one more time. Ohio State, Texas, Michigan, Georgia, Oregon. There is a shot, and it's a realistic shot, that South Carolina's got a better quarterback than any of them, including Arch Manning. So if Lenore Sellers is that guy, that's how you close the gap if you're the Gamecocks next year. You just have a quarterback that plays out of his mind and maybe the best player in the country.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I want to ask you a question, because we all do this. We get lost in the numbers right now, but there'll be a season 2 or 3 years from now, and you're watching NFL, you're playing fantasy football or something like that, and you look back at a football team and you say, I cannot believe all those guys played on that squad. How did they not win more, or how did they not go further? is if you were looking at two teams, Mike, right now after this draft, which two is going to be looking back in 5 years and saying, we missed it. We missed it with these guys.
Oh, easy. Number one, with a bullet, underline, italics, Ole Miss. Ole Miss, this was the year. You know, again, they may have another shot. They're hyping up this Austin Simmons like he's the next Arch Manning, you know, but he's got to be elite for Ole Miss to get there next year. But I think Ole Miss, with their 8 picks, they seriously missed a window. And honestly, that's the only team I can really fit into that.
I'm going to go Georgia Bulldogs. I feel like that's another one. You can't have the 13 kids draft. I mean, you're going to these, some of these guys, I think were perfect fits. I watched, you know, what Atlanta did. I watched what the Lions did. There's some of these, I'm like, man, they're going to fit perfect here. And I feel like we get 5-6 years from now, and some of these guys are still dominating the league. I think we look back and say, how did Georgia get their asses handed to them by Notre Dame? That's where I'm at.
Well, I mean, isn't it fair to say though that their starting quarterback got knocked out? You know, the like game before that.
Yeah.
Who's I don't. None of these teams are winning with their backup.
I'm not saying that. I mean, Arch Manning won some games. You know what I'm saying?
Playoff games.
Well, I mean, he beat
ULM and
yeah. But we all wanted him. You know what I'm saying? How many people were yelling for Arch on that one? So
yeah.
No, I'm not saying, but Georgia, 13 players got drafted. You know what I'm saying? So it feels to me that this is a team that should have had a dominant day. Notre Dame shouldn't have been able to breathe out there. It kind of felt like, you know what I'm saying? And it felt like there was no rushing attack this year. We had offensive line drafted, but we still had no push. So I don't think it should have just been on Carson Beck, and it took 12, 13 games to realize that he was the offense, unfortunately. So I feel like that's where we're going to be with Georgia Bulldogs, is just 13 players, and you know 6-7 of them going to be Pro Bowlers.
Yeah, and half of them going to play for the Eagles, and the Packers taking a lot of their guys too. You know what?
Yeah, absolutely.
These Ole Miss people are so sensitive about their quarterback, Shane. SEC Mike will say Austin Simmons' name every week. Watch. I mean, that's what we do. We sit here and talk SEC football year long. We
need to come up with a bet for Austin Simmons being the best quarterback in the league next year. Some sort of point that we can reference.
I mean, that's an easy one. There's no shot in hell he's the best quarterback in the SEC.
Let's say, I mean, what are you talking about? QBR? Are we talking, you know, most yards thrown? I mean, what kind of stat line are we looking for? Let's just say most best touchdown interception ratio. How about that? Does that seem good?
Yeah.
There's no way that Simmons leads this thing. If he does,
no shot in hell.
If he does, though, what is Ole Miss? What's a good fun? Think of one for a second. A good bet for Mike, because he hates Ole Miss so bad. I don't know what.
And here's why, Shane. Boom. Look at that. Dead last returning production.
Mm-hmm.
No. And then you're just throwing a new quarterback into that? I ain't buying it. And you don't get the cupcakes right away either, like you did last year.
Yeah. Look at that one. Shane making a bet his doppelganger will have to do. Oh gosh, I love it. Yeah, well, now we gotta think. Maybe I'm sure they've got him. Okay, here it is. Because I always think about Lane Kiffin, because he's always posting those yoga things. You ever heard of them hot yogas?
Oh yeah.
The hot yoga. I'm sure they got them.
They have one right down the street.
Yes. I feel like you've got to do
an hour of hot yoga or something.
Nah, let's do 3 days. 3 days in 1 week of hot yoga.
Easy.
Easy, huh? Well, I don't know, because
I want to have to do it. That's what I'm saying. I will bet. Oh, okay. I'd bet 7 days. You know, it ain't gonna happen.
Right. Let's do that. 7 days straight of hot yoga.
They have hot yoga OnlyFans, apparently. We may have to check that out.
Yeah, what I don't know much about it clearly, but I did see like some Dateline or something like that where there was some controversy or something. But man, some of those, and I would imagine Nashville, there's some extreme ones where they like really crank up the heat, and you know, just you gotta be careful. So go ahead and start hydrating, because there may be a chance Simmons has this thing.
Okay. Bookmark it. All right. And then this is also interesting, Shay. So if you go back to last year, so two drafts, right?
Yeah.
Texas just set an all-time record, 23 draft picks. That's more than anybody. Mm-hmm. Not just SEC, more than even Georgia, 23 picks. So that, you know, that you're winning the Big 12. You're coming into the SEC. You're going to the SEC champ. So shout out Sarkisian, a guy that I've given a lot of grief to. He has done one hell of a job amassing, just by draft great records, what have you. The last 2 years, the best damn roster, and I don't think Texas is slowing down.
Dude, I saw a picture. I wish I would have sent it to you because it's a good one. They talked about that running back room. There's a picture. I think there's five or six of them all in the NFL right now. You know, from Bijan to Blue, you know what I'm saying? They all, and what they did is they put them in their uniform jerseys, but they're all sitting on the sideline and stuff. So we may look back and talk about just how great a recruit Sark really is.
Yeah. I mean, he's the elite as they get right now. You know what?
Of course. Give us the Texas job. See, maybe not number one, but you know what I'm saying?
And then, I thought this was pretty interesting, Shane. The five schools in all the country that had the most draft picks and how they finished, right? So yeah. Ohio State, they had more than anybody. Of course, they won it all. Georgia was next with 13. They finished sixth. Texas was next with 12. They finished fourth. Oregon was with 10, finished third. So first, third, fourth, and sixth. This is right where you'd expect, right? Mm-hmm. And then Ole Miss was right there with 8, and they finished 11th. So that's, again, is draft guys, that's the end-all, be-all? No. But it just gives you a window into Ole Miss, top five, most players to the draft, and you didn't even finish in the top 10. Man, I don't know. I don't know that Lane Kiffin ever lives that down. I hope he does, because I think he's a great coach. I want him in the SEC forever, but
yeah.
I don't know if he ever lives that down.
And it's crazy.
Is that fair?
No, it is fair. I mean, I got the blue on right now, man, and I'd be up all night thinking about that Kentucky game. I'd be thinking about that Florida game. If they would have won that, we'd be sitting here saying how great Ole Miss was. I would love to have seen Ole Miss in the playoffs. I felt like they could have beat some of these teams. So they missed it. They missed the opportunity. They got too cocky and they took their eye out the prize. And again, I know there's injuries. I'm not dumb, but late in the season, a lot of teams are banged up. So I can't give them that as an excuse. But yeah, I feel like Ole Miss, I've said it once, I've said it again. We're going to look back and say, did they miss it? I think they did, Mike. I absolutely do.
Yeah. And the only time I can remember, there may be another one, but I can't think of it, since Kirby's second year where they got their ass kicked. I mean, this literally the only time was Ole Miss. I mean, they've lost a game here or there, but
Simmons looked good in that game, didn't he?
It was all this, you know, they got one drive of him. They're like, all right, we can do it, boys. You know what?
Well, I knew people online were like, you know, I've seen them. Don't act like they don't exist. They're like, should this be our starter?
All right. So, hey, how about this, Shay? Some notable draft selections. I mean, we could go through a million of these, but like I said, Tesla, that really stood out to me. High in the third round, first Razorback. But I thought this was rough, Shane. Chris Paul, Ole Miss linebacker, could have come back. Mm-hmm. Went late in the fifth round. Now, I bet he's kind of wishing he would have come back for Ole Miss and kind of been an anchor of that defense. I hated to see that. But the biggest outlier of all of them, Shane, was Mr. Ace Ventura. Killed every animal in the known universe, apparently. Quinn Ewers, I was stunned, Shane. Stunned. Seventh round. Number 231 to Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
Should he have stayed in college? I mean, that's like a popular talking point now. You know, we thought he was going to stay and take all this money at Notre Dame or somewhere else. I mean, it's so easy to second guess, but if he's being honest, what do you think he wishes he would have done?
I think now, I mean, he's on a team. He did get drafted. You know what I'm saying? Obviously yours would love to be a first round pick, but you know, he's got some things he still needs to prove. He's got to be able to stay healthy, something he's not been able to do down there in Texas. So, you know, he's got a couple of marks on his resume, if you will. So, but you're in the dance now, you know what I'm saying? And Miami's a pretty good team to be working with right now. So he's not going to be forced into it. He's not going to have to, you know, start playing from day one. This may be the best thing that could have happened to Quinn, you know, and I did appreciate him filming at Cabela's. That was a pretty cool background there.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Seventh round pick. I mean, there's no guarantee he makes the roster.
He'll make it. Here's the thing. What was the guarantee of coming back? What makes some short-term money? You know, I'm sure Notre Dame or somebody like that would have paid him, but what would he have had to do to improve his stock?
Probably not get injured. You know,
that could be it.
Maybe in the back of his mind, it's like, my body won't hold up.
What if you don't get drafted? What if you do get hit and are injured again? You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden you're not selected at all. So
yeah,
I felt like this was a card game, and Quinn's, you know, crew, I'm sure they weighed all the opportunities here. And I just feel like this is as good as it gets right now, but you're in there. Now it's time to prove to the rest. It's like, you know, the old, what's his name? Tom Brady does, you know, how many times we have to see how many quarterbacks pass. I'm sure maybe Quinn's working on that video right now.
And then this is a long list, and I was kind of surprised. These are the notable guys that didn't get drafted. Arkansas receiver Andrew Armstrong.
Yeah.
Dude, he tore it up this year. I think he led the SEC in touchdowns. You know, all these guys getting picked up, but that was pretty surprising to me. Florida running back Montrell Johnson didn't get drafted. I was like, what? Georgia, you just kind of assume all their defensive players are going to get drafted. Nazir Stackhouse on the defensive line. Jazz Chambliss off the edge. And offensive lineman Xavier Truss, none of those guys got drafted. How about Kentucky linebacker Jamon Dumas Johnson? You know, he was at Georgia a long time. And J.J. Weaver, neither one of them got drafted. Mizzou, Brady Cook, Theo Weiss, Johnny Walker, and Nate Noel, none of those guys got drafted. Ole Miss receiver Juice Wells, tight end Caden Priestcorn, defensive lineman Jared Ivey, running back Ulysses Bentley, none of those guys got drafted. South Carolina running back Rocket Sanders, tight end Joshua Simon, Tennessee center Cooper Mays, defensive lineman Omari Thomas, receiver Brew McCoy, and then Texas, Jake Majors, outstanding center, and then receiver Isaiah Bond didn't even get drafted.
Yeah.
Of course, I didn't realize that he had some allegations about 2 weeks ago, so I think it had more to do with that, but I know I just threw a ton of names at you, but any of those really stand out to you that you're like, man, that didn't get drafted at all? That doesn't mean there's so many guys that don't go drafted and have careers in the NFL. So I think some of these guys will, but it was still pretty surprising me that all these guys I listed didn't get called.
I don't know about Bond's situation, but obviously that one stood. I mean, we even talked about how important he could be for a football team, which he still could be. I don't know what the allegations are, so we're not getting into that. I felt like Judas, you know, Ole Miss wide receiver. I kind of surprised they may do a 30-30 for this kid. He went from being what we thought one of the best wide receivers in the game to not being drafted, which is crazy to me. Priesthorn, that's another one. I thought he would be picked up. I'm trying to think all the names you threw out. And Theo, I felt like Theo, I feel like he plays. I feel like somebody's going to take a shot on him. You know, he might already got picked up, but this is a kid that is really good. He's got, I think, the upside and the situation. I always wonder about Brady just because, you know, 2 years ago, Brady Cook probably would have made Theo got drafted. You know what I'm saying? I question the injury and the output that the wide receivers there at Mizzou had. And was that more about the system, or was it more about just, you know, everybody wants to blame behind the scenes, but I think it more had more to do with, you know, just limitations from Brady. So, yeah, just kind of interesting. I think Brady didn't get picked up, did he?
I think all these guys, they have been signed, every guy that I've mentioned, but just the fact that they didn't get drafted was kind of noteworthy.
Brady's another one. I because 2 years ago, you know, we were blown away by how talented he was, and clearly he's going to have some cleanup surgery going into the NFL, but that's another kid that I feel like could be good on a roster at the next level.
Yeah, I just looked it up, Shane. The Jets signed Brady Cook.
Okay, yeah. Another cooking.
So anything else, Shane, on the draft? I got one more thing otherwise.
Did Sanders get picked up? No, I'm just kidding.
I'll look it up. But
did you see the prank call? I think this one's...
That's it. I thought you meant Rocket Sanders.
No.
Rocket Sanders went to the Chargers.
So the prank call came from an Ole Miss kid, and in the background was, I want to say, a coach's son or something like that. I don't know all the details, but apparently, you know, they're deleting everything, their social medias and whatnot.
It wasn't Kiffin's son, was it?
No. Okay, I think it was, I can't remember. I don't want to just throw a coach out there, but.
Man, I felt bad about that.
Not draft related, but what about Belichick, huh? Did you see that one? His girlfriend just telling him what to say, what to do. Oh my gosh, just like the Bill Belichick I knew growing up.
Yeah, I hate to say it, Shane. I mean, I think, I'm interested to see what he does in North Carolina, but based on that, I was like, man, he's whipped beyond belief already. Yeah. I'm losing confidence in his ability to be a leader of men at this point.
Well, I wondered, you know, because there was the video that floated about her on the field and stuff, almost like an assistant coach there for a second. Right. And I made a joke, but I didn't say anything of it. And then I saw this interview and she just shut him down, said, Bill, we ain't talking about that, you know, crack the whip. She's holding a Misty Light 120. You know, I was like, damn, is he may be getting abused at home. So I don't know, his shirt's ripped up and everything.
What are the odds that this is all her idea? Like, she wants to be a coach or she wants to be in college football, NFL, and maybe she pushed him into it.
She may have that craft video and say, I'm going to release it. Yes, are there too.
Anybody that missed it, it's all over online, but just Google or search on Twitter, CBS Morning Bill Belichick. I mean, it's awkward. It's one of the most awkward things I've ever seen.
Yeah, and I feel like, I mean, we got to find the next story. Now that Sanders and Hunter is you know, has left, it feels like national media latches on to another storyline, and it may be Bill next year, so just be ready.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find it. I don't think I'm going to find it, Shane, but there was one hell of a tweet. I'm going to show everybody Bill Belichick, the sweater that he was wearing. This will be perfect right here. Let me throw this up here so people can get the joke. But so he's wearing this raggedy sweater, right? Yes. For people that can see that, the navy, and if you can tell, right, there's a hole in it and everything. Mm-hmm. And his girlfriend, her name's Jordan, something or other. But someone said that damn sweater that he's wearing is older than his damn girlfriend. Which I thought that was pretty good. You know what?
Maybe. I don't know, brother. I feel like that's one of those you buy like it. You know what I'm saying? That cut looked a little too clean. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was picked out. Like, the holes I have is because my fat ass hit the side of a door somewhere and it ripped, you know? No, that one is purposely placed. So, and it probably cost $150 or something. You probably find it online, I would imagine.
Yeah. Well, hey, last thing I got here, Shane. Sam Pittman talking about Madden Iyama leaving the program. I thought this was a good comment, Shane, but not how I thought this would go from old Sam Pittman.
What was your reaction to Madden leaving?
You know, a lot of times where there's smoke, there's fire. And, you know, we had heard some rumors to that, but, you know, there's always rumors going around. So I don't know that I was totally surprised. You know, guys, the portal, and I know Nico was high profile, you know, but I'm not. I don't want to blame the players. I don't, for leaving. I mean, you can say, you know, well, he was here 3 months and blah blah blah, but the opportunity to leave is there twice a year. The money to leave for more money is there twice a year. And I'm not positive what we all would do in that situation. So he handled it well, came in and visited with me about it, handled it well, and talked to me about it, and then decided to go in the portal. So obviously, as soon as that happened, then we go find somebody to replace him.
So not a surprise, Shay. They were hearing the rumors, but I thought it was an interesting comment. I mean, you had two times a year where you can go to another job for more money. Most people are going to take that too. So, you know, he takes the high road, which I like to see.
Yeah, do you? I want to hear honesty. I want you to not hold back and tell me exactly how you feel. And, you know, at the end of the day, we could blame the portal, but we can also blame the situations too. You know, Nico, going back to him, it's not like he left for more money. It's not like he left for a better offense. It's, you know, this is a kid that, you know, got caught chasing some money because of the influencers that were around him. And I feel like that's the part that needs to be studied. That's the part that needs to be shown to some of these other kids that, you know, the grass is not always greener. And, but again, I'm hitting you with all these metaphors. You make the bed, you sleep in it, Mike. And that's kind of where we're at. But Sam wants to shut it down because, you know, Arkansas definitely has been affected by both of these portals, and it sucks. Let's just have one. Let's just give the kids the opportunity. Let's get them paid. But let's just don't make it easy. The temptation is there. The temptation's there. If you remove the temptation, then it will be better for all schools, I think.
Yeah. I see both sides of it, you know. You're going to get paid. Whatever UCLA's paid Madden, I don't think Arkansas thought he was worth it, so they let his ass go, you know? And yep. They got a quarterback. Took them about a day to get another one in there.
Yeah, yeah. That's just how it works. That's the nature of this game, Mike. And, you know, we talk about some of these, you know, the at least the big names. You know, he mentioned Nico there. But there's so many other names that we don't really talk about, but are pivotal pieces. You know, that's that competitive depth we talked about where teams falter at the end of the season because they don't have anymore. So I feel like it gets corrected. We've kind of come to a point. So when are the coaches getting together down there?
You talking about for the spring meetings?
Yeah. Yeah.
That'll be at the end of May. So about a month from now.
Would any decision, because you pay attention more than I do, would any decision that's made in that meeting affect the 2025 season, or would it most likely be a 2026 situation? Not saying that they're changing rules, but you know what I'm saying. It feels like
no. I mean, no, I think decisions can be made that affect 2025, and there's even speculation that they may make it to where. I don't know if this will happen or not, but they're discussing limiting how many transfers you could take. So maybe, you know, maybe it's 5, maybe it's 10, so that you can't go out and get 30 guys via the portal.
Yeah.
And there may be, they may do penalties. They're even talking about if you exceed it.
Okay.
So that may be one way to kind of solve all this, you know?
You looking forward to that trip, Mike? Sun down there. You better be testing that hot yoga because you're going to need it when Simmons goes crazy this year.
Oh, hey, one more thing. I know I said last thing, but I don't know if you saw the madness, Shane, instant reaction buddy. To the latest post-spring SEC power rankings that have nothing to do with cousin Shane always gets roped into this somehow.
Yeah.
Anything stand out to you?
Well, see, I thought you were doing it backwards there for a second. And then I was like, oh, no, this is what he meant. No. I mean, obviously, people are worried about the Oklahoma-Florida situation. They wonder why Tennessee's so damn low. They wonder why I think the bottom half, there's going to be some people taking shots at you, but it's just that mix right there. And I know you're high on Florida. I'm not as high on them as you are. And Oklahoma, I do think they're proven. If you're not checked, we got an interview out. Travis, I did that yesterday. It's we talk about Oklahoma. And I tell you what, it got me excited. Got me thinking about, you know, maybe I'm a little too low on these boys. So be sure you check that out after the show. But I would say those were the two, the 6-7, the 5-6-7. That's the mix right there that I have problems with, and it sounds like most of the cousins do.
The world. The world. Well, that's why, Shane, it's a new year.
Yes.
Teams jump up, teams jump down.
Yeah.
And we're going to be here covering it all. You know what, buddy?
Every damn minute of it. So looking forward to it.
Hey, Cousin Mike loved your interview with Trav, so go check it out. Like Shane was saying.
Yeah. Trav Skull, we've had him on before, and he's the one that predicted Oklahoma to go 12-0. Now I'm joking. What was funny about that interview, true story, we got about 25 minutes into this thing when I realized there was no red dot. I was like, damn, I messed up. So we had to rehash that interview. It was like a 2-hour interview, but unfortunately you only get 40 minutes of it. So be sure to check it out. The likes, the thumbs up help, you know, just jump on there, give it a thumbs up. Really appreciate everybody taking the opportunity to hang out with us. And the draft was wild, but I loved every minute of it.
So let me ask you, Shay, how do you even start an interview then? I mean, you just you see his face and then you just start talking.
Just having a nice conversation, you know. Actually, I thought maybe I did think I hit the button or something, mm-hmm. because you have to go in there and then it's like, you sure you want to do it? You know? And I'm right. Like, oh yeah. So, but you see on the top of our screen, it says live 56 minutes, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I noticed about halfway through this thing, I was like, I didn't see any red. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Yes, it says it in the top left. It says it in the top right. I mean, it's kind of hard to miss. To not
at least have somebody enjoy talking to, you know? It sucked if it was like an interviewer. You're just like, oh my God, I wish we could have gotten, you know?
Right, so. Right. But I think as the cousins could tell, I'm always the one that hits the record button.
You are. I am in control of nothing. I just pop on here and shoot the shit with you. So this may not even be recording. I don't know. As soon as I get off here.
No, I can promise you, Shane, this is going to be recorded. All right, buddy. But hey, no, I'm just kidding with you. Yeah. Go check it out. We got more interviews coming. I'm going to try to get a bunch this week. So channel should be absolutely loaded. But hey, that's all I got. Appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.